Thank you. Thank you. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13 is where Jesus is speaking to us. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine is on a journey and has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. For those of you who like to jot down the scripture references that I mentioned during the sermon, I'm going to invite you to get out your pencil and be ready to write, because I forgot to put those in the bulletin, so you won't have those to look at a little bit later on. But I invite you to pray with me now. Lord, please open people's hearts and minds to what you say to us today. Please open my heart and mind too, to have a better relationship with you. Amen. I've mentioned recently that prayer is how we talk to God, and reading our Bibles is how we listen to God. The Bible contains many prayers, and what we find out is that prayers are conversations with God. They are intimate conversations from honest believers whose main desire is to be in the closest possible relationship and friendship with God. That's what prayer is. I invite you to think about the times when you have prayed. When you feel separated from God, when you're in a crisis and don't know where to turn, when you're cramming for a test that you should have been better prepared for, when you are in a crisis for your health or standing helpless when a loved one is battling for their life, when you are facing a personal demon that threatens everything that you hold dear. People pray for peace. People pray for direction. People pray for answers to questions. We pray when we're happy. We pray when we're grateful for getting up another morning. We pray for strength to carry on. People come to church to pray for each other and with each other. We come to church so that we can be still and focus our hearts and our minds on God and God's will for us. Prayer is how we talk to God. Reading our Bibles is how we listen to God. Prayer is a means of receiving God's grace. Grace is when God injects himself into your life. Grace is when God invades your life in ways that you appreciate, sometimes in ways that you don't appreciate. Grace is when God transforms your life so that He is no longer your co-pilot, but is your captain. God changes the way that we live so that God is more important to us than money, so that turning the other cheek is more important than our pride. Grace is when, with our permission, with your permission, God takes over and begins writing the story of your life to His honor and to His glory. And prayer is a means of receiving God's grace. In that scripture that we just read this morning from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus teaches the disciples how to pray. And Jesus teaches this prayer not to be a recitation from memory that we say every week in church, but as a way for us to recognize God's amazing grace and God's awesome love and provision for each one of us each day of our lives. Prayer reflects our desire to draw nearer in faith and trust to God. What we learn in prayer is that God takes care of the most intimate and sometimes the most mundane details of our lives. It's the little things that count. God takes care of the little things. As we draw nearer to God, God blesses us and trusts us with the opportunity to be the answer to someone else's prayer. God trusts you to be the answer to someone else's prayer. As Christians, as Christ followers, we are to always be on the job, looking for the opportunities that God gives us to not only see Him at work tending to the details of our lives, but also praying that others might see the same careful attention that God is paying to them. In June of 2007, I was directing a mini camp at Camp Allegheny, and I spent a week with two different groups of 15 kids who were between the ages of 5 and 8 years old. So I had 15 kids from Sunday afternoon to Wednesday morning, and then from Wednesday afternoon through Saturday morning, 15 kids each time between the ages of 5 and 8. And the theme of that week was, "Listen, God is calling." During that time that we had together, we were very intentional about paying attention to God's handiwork at the camp, listening to God speak through the scriptures and through other people. We taught the kids the importance of prayer. We tried to help the kids see God's hand at work in every aspect of the week. One night, we were supposed to have a hayride. The forecast was calling for rain and for storms, and it looked like we might have to revise the schedule. At supper, I told 15 kids, "Well, the forecast is calling for rain and storms. I'm not sure about the hayride." And then I said, "God knows our plans, and He knows that we would like to go on the hayride. But we're here to fit into God's plans. And if God thinks that we need the rain more than we need the hayride, then that's okay. We'll just do something else." The kids were satisfied with that. And they watched. And they waited to see what God was going to do. It rained that evening. And it stormed that evening. But not until we returned from the hayride, had time to stop for our snacks and walk the half a mile back to the cabin and get inside. When the rain and the storm started, I said to the kids, look out the window. Do you see what's happening? It's raining. Did you see how God held off the rain so that we could have our hayride and get our snacks and get back here without anybody getting wet? What do you think we should say to God? And with one voice, those 15 kids said, thank you, God. I think that three-word prayer was the sweetest prayer that God heard. That same summer, my husband Paul and I were at Cedar Point. We like to go to Cedar Point for the roller coasters. And our nephew Jared was there with us that week. Paul had the opportunity of helping his nephew learn that same lesson, to say thank you to God. And Jared remarked how important it is to say thank you to God when your prayers are answered. That's a lesson that adults tend to forget. It's so important for us to remember to always say thank you, especially to God. Here come the Bible verses. A Bible promise is found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, and I quote, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, unquote. That's true even on our prayers. Numbers 14:28 is where God says, and I quote, listen close to this one. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say, end quote. Never pray for someone else that which you would not want to receive for yourself. If you pray for God to chastise someone, sometimes God will see if you can take for yourself that which you want someone else to get. Ask God to bless your soul first, to convict you of your sins first, so you can confess them and repent before God. Then God can use your simple, honest witness, which is now made righteous in Christ, to lead others to repent of their sin, have their relationship with Christ restored, and be made right with God. Sometimes we feel inadequate in our work as Christ followers. Sometimes we don't feel like we measure up with what we should do in order to live a life of Christ. We can't always find the answers. We don't always see God's direction in our lives. Sometimes we have questions or difficulties or differences that overwhelm us and threaten to consume us and our witness. We don't always feel very well prepared to do God's work, and we're not always sure of that connection between our faith as Christians and the lives we live, as students, as parents, as neighbors, as teachers, as husbands or wives, whatever work it is that we find ourselves doing. And sometimes we find ourselves feeling very alone, and it's at those times that we need a word of encouragement to remind us that even when we are not able, God is able. God is able. Even if you cannot kick a habit or give up a bad attitude, Jesus can. Give it to him. Ask Jesus to help you to not start again. Ask Jesus to bear the burden for you. And trust him. all throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, listening to accounts of Christ followers, we learn that God invites us to share with Him everything that is in our lives and in our hearts. Everything. Jesus set the example for us by talking with God in prayer. The psalmist gives permission for us to pray and to praise and to sing and to trust God to be at work in our lives. It's a greater privilege for us to be able to bow our heads and talk to God than it is to meet with and talk with the most powerful person or the richest person on earth. As Christ followers, we need to pray. When we pray, we grow as a church. We grow humble. And we grow strong in the Lord when we humble ourselves before Him. When we pray, the devil trembles. When we keep on praying, the devil runs. In James 4:7, the Bible says, and I quote, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you," unquote. We resist the devil when we continue to pray for God's help and guidance. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Pray for the church. That's part of our job. In Samuel 12:23, we're told straight out, here's another quote, "It is a sin to not pray for God's people," unquote. Pray for the people of God. Pray for the people beside you. Pray for the people who are not beside you. Pray for your church. Has someone wronged you? Pray for justice. Have you wronged someone or sinned against God? Pray for forgiveness. Pray for yourself. Pray for those who would hurt you. Pray for God's will to be done in your life. Pray for God to lead you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake so that you don't stray from His plan for your life. Pray for the courage to stop complaining and remember to start saying thank you to God. Pray for our country and its leaders. Pray for the world. Especially pray for the salvation of those people who you know who have not yet turned to Christ as their Savior and who have not yet given their whole hearts and their entire lives to God. Our main job as Christ followers is to pray. Are you on the job? When we pray, other people notice. People outside the church remind us of our job to pray because they ask us to pray for them. God knows who is on the job praying. God keeps us at work praying by leading people who are hurting to come to us so that we can pray for them. This may come as a surprise, but prayer is not reserved for the trained professional. Prayer is not just a job description for the preacher or the Bible study leader or the leaders of the church or the people who are on the prayer chain. Prayer is your job description. Your prayers are what remind God that you are a Christ follower. Prayer is how people who have accepted Jesus as their Savior talk to God. We need to know God personally, and we can only learn to know God by talking to Him and by listening to Him. We talk to God when we pray. We listen to God when we read our Bibles. That's how we find out God's instruction and His encouragement to us to live our lives for Him. It's how we know God's heart and His feelings about us. Have you ever tried to talk to someone who never listens to a word you say? Those people drive me crazy. That's what it's like for God when we talk to Him but never read His word. We never hear what He has to say to us. Have you ever gotten the silent treatment from someone who expects you to read their mind and meet their expectations, but who never talks to you or tells you what they want? What kind of a relationship is that? Those people drive me crazy too. Don't let that be your relationship with God. Don't give God the silent treatment. Wear the attitude of prayer and live your life to God's glory. Make every act of your life an action that you want God to see. Make every word that you say something that you want God to hear. And when you sin, don't pretend it wasn't a sin, or that it wasn't you, or that it was someone else's fault. Don't try to put it out of your mind until you have first confessed it to God. 1 John 1:9 says, and I quote, this is a promise to stand on. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Unquote. This is a promise. God will be faithful and just to His promise to forgive us if we remember to confess our sins to Him. If you've never done this before, today's a great day to start. Tell Jesus you believe in Him. Admit and confess your sins to Him. Ask the Lord to forgive you and help you to turn from your sins. Ask Jesus to give you a new, clean heart to help you love God and others, and say thank you. Thank Him for saving your soul. Listen, God is calling. As Christians, we are in this battle for souls together. Let us be in prayer for each other and prayer with each other. Talk to God today and tomorrow and every day. Walk in Jesus' presence. Live in Jesus' purity. Rejoice in Jesus' power in your life. Reach up and take hold of God's almighty hand. And follow Jesus all the way. Experience the blessing and the victory of serving Jesus. Each one of you have been blessed to be a blessing. In God's name and to God's glory. Thanks be to God. That's all I have to say about that. The sermon for next week is based on James 2, 1 through 17, and we'll explore the right attitude in prayer.